On today's episode of the Natty Boys podcast, we kick things off by talking about the genius move of LeVar Ball to pull his son LaMelo out of high school and homeschool him in order to make him a better basketball player. We also talk about the NBA's new format for their All-Star game, and we preview the upcoming UC and Ohio State matchups for this weekend. We talk about the Cleveland Browns dumpster fire, both literally and figuratively. And we're a quarter way through the NFL season, so you know what that means. It's time for the annual Natty Boys Quarter Season NFL Awards presented by Mill Iron Sports. We wrap things up with our NFL picks for the week and a fantasy draft inspired by O.J. Simpson's recent release from prison. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Natty Boys Podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Natty Boys Podcast. Today is Thursday, October 5th, and LaMelo Ball is no longer a high school student.
This story is hilarious to me.
Yes. So we all know that LaVar is a man of many hats. He's a shoe mogul. He's a basketball coach. He's a reality TV star. And he's, I guess, adding educator to that list of titles now.
Yep. WWE superstar.
Yeah, that's true. He is a WWE superstar. At least you don't have to worry about a sex scandal. I hope not, at least. That'd be a little... but yeah, that did not expect to wake up yesterday or find out that, you know, LaVar Ball was going to start running his own high school, I'm assuming, out of his basement. Like, I just picture a white erase board on the wall of their basement with LiAngelo. Sitting there in a desk, just a single desk, and him with LaVar teaching him God knows what.
Him walking in with that stupid strut he did on WWE. Good morning, class.
So there was listening to like what LaMelo had to say about not going to high school anymore. Mm-hmm. And he said, this is a quote from him. He's excited about the change in his scholastic life, quote, because I can spend all my time now and dedication into it instead of going to school and doing book work. So he's not going to be, apparently he doesn't plan on learning anything his senior year of high school. He's just going to kind of wing it and play basketball.
Yeah. Well, you know,
and I I don't know what sort of scholastic stuff they have to do for the state of California for him to get into UCLA, which is where he's committed to.
Ooh, bold prediction. He's going to fail out of UCLA.
Bolder prediction. Class. He's going to fail out of homeschool.
You'll find out his dad's a stickler.
What is he going to do basketball-wise? Is he still allowed to play for the school district's team?
No. So that's one of the things that LaVar said. The quote from LaVar is, I'm not dealing with the coach over there. I'm not dealing with the administration over there. I don't want no distractions on Melo, so therefore I'm going to homeschool him and make him the best basketball player ever. And he said he calls the coach and the administration over there knuckleheads.
Kookaburra knucklehead.
Dude.
Now, he
plays on LaVar's AAU big baller team. And I guess that's what he's going to focus on. He's going to be his teacher and his coach full time.
UCLA, but not his dad. An Adidas school, right?
Interesting.
Makes you think.
Now, wasn't Tebow homeschooled in high school?
No, he's just weird.
No, I'm pretty sure he was homeschooled through high school.
I'm pretty sure he was too, because people made jokes about him having a crush on the teacher.
I remember that now.
So now, I guess. So would LiAngelo be able to play for his hometown school? Like, is the district that he's in, would he be allowed to if his dad didn't hate the administration?
I would assume so.
Because I think that's what Tebow did, or maybe he played for a private... I don't know what Tebow's situation was in high school. other than he was homeschooled, but I didn't know. So I guess is there a year-round AAU team that he can play on? Or
oh, I'm sure that's what LeVar's going to do. He's going to make the big baller team that he's on a traveling team, basically, just for LaMelo.
No, but we're going to get to see LiAngelo up close and in person, and whatever the other L kid name is. What's his other brother's name?
The one that they just pulled out is LaMelo. And then Lonzo is on the Lakers.
Okay, so
LaMelo's LiAngelo is on UCLA currently.
I think I've been calling him LiAngelo this whole time. So LiAngelo and LaMelo will both probably be on UCLA when they come to Cincinnati next year. Because this year UC starts a home and home with UCLA. Going out to UCLA.
I'm pretty excited for that. And just seeing the UC announcements today kind of got me excited for basketball season to come back around. Mm-hmm. I got an email from the Bearcats saying that they only have like 850 season tickets left. So there's probably not going to be many mini plans and individual game tickets available because... Right. BB&T Arena isn't very big, and they've already sold like 11,000 season tickets.
Yeah, and I saw that their season ticket numbers were the highest they've ever been, or if not ever, but since like the Huggins era when they were in the national title picture every year.
It's cool to see them picking up a team like UCLA too, with that being one of the knocks on them when they go into the tournament that they're not playing, you know, a tough enough schedule. So
yeah, that and adding Wichita State to the conference was having two games against them a year is going to be a big deal, and I like that.
And last year they were in one of those weird mini tournaments where it's just like four teams, and then they would have played Duke if they could have beat Rhode Island.
Yeah. I know.
So that would have been another game that's the problem is UC seems to be in those things every year where there's two or three really big schools, but they either lose or one of the other big schools gets knocked off.
Yep.
And so UC never gets the benefit of that, you know, that possible game with a big conference team. And then, like you said, until the tournament comes around, they have that stigma of they've played in the AAC, and with Connecticut being down recently and really SMU being the only other major competitor in the conference at the time.
Yeah.
I forgot about the Wichita State thing until JV said something.
And they get them twice, so that's great.
Yep.
The other big announcement today was that the home opener for the newly renovated Fifth Third Arena is going to be against your Ohio State Buckeyes, Witty.
Yep, I saw they did a home-and-home as well. And I think and I don't know if they even set the schedule that far in advance, but from what I was reading on the Buckeyes Twitter, it sounded like they might be a home opener in Ohio State in 2019 too, which obviously that's not as big a deal because they're not opening a new arena, but that'll be a pretty cool way to kick off the new arena for UC in 2018.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of a big program Ohio State will be as far as basketball talent, just because they've had some down years, which is, you know, why Thad Mata's out and Holtman's in. I don't know how long it'll take him to get the program back up and running, but
I think that this does a couple things for the Bearcats. It's a hat nod to the history, which is, I think, the first of UC's national championships in the 60 came against the Buckeyes in the finals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it also is, you know, it's a, I don't know if they want to make it an in-state home, you know, an in-state rivalry, because, I mean, UC in a football scale can't compete with the Buckeyes. But I think it's pretty cool that they can match up in basketball like this.
Yep.
And they, when Holtman went to Ohio State, he said that, and I know that they've talked about it with Dayton, they want to get a Ohio State, UC, Dayton, and Xavier like a showcase every year.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. And
then they just rotate through who plays those games. Yeah. That way UD and Xavier don't play every year. Ohio State and UC don't play every year.
Yep.
And then you could even mix it in with the Crosstown Shootout could be part. You could build it around that if you wanted to. And the Buckeyes have not played out of the tournament play, obviously, because they matched up in the tournament a couple years ago. Oh, actually, it's been longer than that now. It seems like it was only a couple years ago, but that was a while ago now.
Yeah.
But Ohio State and UC haven't played regular season games since, I think, the 60s.
Yeah, I think so.
This is a big, it's almost like an olive branch was passed because it just seemed like the two schools never had any interest. They both always had too much to lose or not enough to gain by playing one another.
Right.
Because they've never been both up at the same time. So.
Yep. Yeah, I would like to see this kind of thing continue, though. I thought it was funny on Twitter. So the Buckeyes basketball account announced it, and then the Brutus Buckeye account responded to it and mentioned the UC Bearcats account, like the actual mascot, the Bearcats account. And he said something about like it being a throwback or whatever, and he showed a picture of the old UC Bearcats mascot from the 60s.
Oh, it's creepy.
It was such a terrible mascot. Just as creepy, dopey-looking, like, Bearcat thing with, like, a strange, like, block C on the chest.
Yeah. It was not good. When I originally heard that there was going to be a huge announcement about the first game in the arena, and they said it's going to be the biggest ticket to get in the state of Ohio, I my first thought was they got UK to come up and play them.
Yeah.
Just because that's been another team that UC's always wanted to schedule, but UK never will.
Yeah.
And then there's years that it's probably been best that UC didn't get them to schedule them because they would have gotten blown out of the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But with UC's big, they've had some pretty good years there for a while where it's like they could have hung with teams like UK and other schools like that where it would have been good for the program. But I was expecting bigger than Ohio State, but I'm glad that it is Ohio State because I think it's going to be a long-term thing instead of having UK come in here, blow them out in the opener, and then never play again unless they get matched up in a tournament.
Yeah, and I have a hunch that, you know, if UC wins, it's not going to be one of those resume makers where it's like, oh, they beat the Buckeyes, so that's going to help them. But it's a cool thing for you know, in-state people at least, getting that kind of rivalry going. And again, you know, you alluded to it before, you don't see that in football just because I think the Buckeyes kind of feel they have a little bit too much to lose, which I wish they would get over that because I'd like to see UC and Ohio State play in football as well. But, you know, we'll see if anything like that ever happens. But at least they're doing it in basketball.
Yeah. So there's some NBA reform coming to us, and it's not resting players, and it's not NBA draft reform. It's the change that we all wanted.
Finally.
It's a change to the All-Star game format.
They're just canceling it?
Yeah, seriously. It's just a dunk contest like the just entire, a dunk entire weekend. Yeah. Weekend-long dunk contest.
It's a knockout dunk contest.
Ooh.
Oh, how sweet. How many broken legs would there be?
Yeah.
I just want to see knockout. Each other.
Not even knockout.
That would be sweet.
Yeah.
So this year, instead of having it be East versus West, they're going to have team captains, and they're going to have basically a draft of, you know,
that's
a pick'em.
NFL did.
And the NHL, they've been doing it too, so they're kind of getting on board with that. And honestly, I think the decision came down to just how unbalanced the East and West are as far as talent goes right now.
I would agree.
The East would absolutely get blown out if they just tried to match up straight up against the West. So this trying to evens it out a little bit.
How is LeBron going to duck the super team talk if he's in charge of creating one of the super all-star teams?
It's an all-star clause. It doesn't count.
Okay.
This also makes me wonder, like, are we going to see some redemption between a couple of the players? You know, is LeBron going to draft Kyrie and, you know, hug and kiss and say that they're sorry? Is KD and Russell going to be on the same team?
That's
LeBron's gonna draft Kyrie and not let him play.
That's what I was reading some people's thoughts today about. They need Russ and KD to be the captains just to see how that goes.
That would be against each fucking other. Awesome.
Yep. But you know, I think it'd be more awkward if KD has to pick Russ or vice versa.
Yeah.
That would be.
Yeah.
I think that they're really doing this to turn it into another hour-long special on TNT. During All-Star weekend. I mean, it's just something to fill more time. I don't think it really changes the All-Star game that much because it really is just a dunk contest until there's 5 minutes left in the game, and then they actually start playing defense.
I wish they would do it. they say that they're doing it to be the playground style. I think it should be legit playground style. As soon as the last person's picked, you go and you play. Like, I don't think it should be...
Yeah, no blood, no like foul.
On a blacktop with chains for nets.
Exactly. Shirts and skins.
Yeah. Mello's in his hoodie.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, that picture with him and Russ has created so many great memes lately.
With Russ, like, with his arms up. The funniest one I saw was... what do you mean clubs? I mean, we have a Chili's that's open past 11.
That was the one that I saw.
Was like, I like the one where he was like, it's my club. And he was like, I have the hoodie on, Russ. I know, but it's still my team. You can take your shots, but I'm wearing the hoodie, Russ.
I like the one. I saw another one, too. It was like, what do you mean you're not going to pass the ball or something? I forget exactly what it was, but it was something like...
I'm a point guard, not a pass guard.
Yeah, that's what it was. I'm a point guard, not a pass guard. Yeah, that's what it was.
And that was the hot new segment, Mellow Russ Memes by Mill Iron Sports.
Terribly butchered by Mac.
And Hefe. Yes. I stayed out of it because I've never seen that meme before.
I nailed it, though, guys.
You did.
You did, DB. You're the only one that has any value to this segment.
You were 100 emoji.
So I hope that they make the draft portion of it entertaining, because watching the NHL draft last year, the All-Star draft, was pretty funny because some of the players were hammered, and it just was kind of interesting. I think Ovechkin was wasted. And,
you could always count on Ovechkin to get trashed at that thing.
And Kessel was too, wasn't he?
Yep. Kessel got caught looking at one of the card girls too. He got caught like staring them down as they were walking across the stage.
Yeah.
The All-Star game this year is in L.A., and weed's legal now, so we'll get some big players.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot of fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Well, every week we've been given some sort of update on the two college football teams that most of us follow. Ohio State this week, they're expected to blow out another East Coast team that makes no sense in the Big Ten, at least for football purposes.
Yep.
Maryland, they are 31-point favorites over the Terrapins, which that's bad. That's the kind of spread you see for those early season out-of-conference games.
Yep.
To see it mid-season in a conference game, that's ugly. It's almost as ugly as whatever the hell Maryland's probably going
to
wear.
Right, I was going to say, yeah. It'll be a nice opportunity for Maryland to showcase their terrible uniforms and their ugly-ass helmets. Yeah.
Well, at least it's at Ohio State, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at least they don't have the benefit of being home, so they're going to be limited a little bit. They're going to have to be, they're whites, I'm guessing. But, so they might not be able to do that full-on ugly flag... whatever they call that set of uniforms, like their flag,
so bad
honor, looking. Their honor flag uniforms or something like that, which
so bad.
Yeah,
it's terrible. It looks like it's they look like uniforms you would see in like a bad football movie.
Mm-hmm. Like that rival team that it reminds me of some of the uniforms you saw on Any Given Sunday.
Yeah, there really are. There's a team in there that the jerseys kind of look exactly like Maryland's do. Yeah.
But Maryland's 3-1 right now, but I expect this to play out a lot like the Rutgers game did. So I think you'll see them, work on some stuff, trying to, again, keep getting JT to progress in the passing game and probably get him out by early second half. And
I was going to say, we're going to see some backup quarterback play.
Yep.
31 points is still so much to give up. Mm-hmm. I always have a hard time. I stay away from these, or try to stay away from them if I am putting money on anything, because you never know how it's going to shake out in that fourth quarter.
Right. Well,
because this game, even though Ohio State's going to dominate it, I could see the makings of a 38-14 game.
Right.
Because of the way that the backup quarterbacks played after JT got pulled, and the way that Maryland's not going to pull their starter, so they could score. Even though Maryland's first team probably still doesn't quite match up well with Ohio State's second team defense, it's still liable to get a cheap touchdown or two late in the game and make it not closer than it looked, but to cover that 31 points.
Yeah, I think last weekend Rutgers did pull some of their starters and let some kids get in there just so they could say they played against the Buckeyes.
Right.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where, I mean, Rutgers, that was a 29-point spread, I'm pretty sure. Uh-huh. And right. that game was 56 to nothing. But you never know. Again, it could – and even with the starters in, any like you know, I said this last time, any given weekend, I mean, they could play close. So, you know, I don't think Maryland has a chance at winning. But,
no.
You know, if Buckeyes struggle a little bit, you could see a – you know, a 2-3 score game possibly. That mm-hmm. wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. They said that in the Rutgers game, I think all but four guys on the Ohio State active roster actually got in and played. So wow. that's like getting into like the third string and sometimes probably fourth string.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Yeah.
Wow.
Future Mountain Union guys.
Hmm.
Staying in the Buckeye State, UC this weekend plays host to it's number 25. yeah, they play host to number 25, Central Florida, which is a UC is plus 17, so they're a pretty big underdog in this one. And with how they played against Marshall, I'm not real confident in this game.
No,
I'm not even real confident for them to cover that spread.
I don't think they cover. I think that they get beat by 21.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that.
But I don't know much about Central Florida, just that they're ranked right now. I don't know. And they're normally pretty decent at football, but I don't know a ton about their team this year.
I don't know much either. I just know that they were one of the teams that a lot of people were picking to be come out of that side of the AAC.
Yep.
They just beat Memphis 40-13.
I haven't been following UC all that closely this year. How's Hayden Moore been playing? I mean, has he been doing all right, or is he kind of part of what they're struggling with right now?
He's really spotty.
Been shaky.
And he'll have games. It's not even he has games where he's good and games where he's bad. He literally just has series.
Yeah.
Like, he'll have a series where you're like, oh, he's actually putting it together now. And then he'll have another series, and you're like, who the fuck is this guy? Yeah. Why is he even out there? So
He's got accuracy problems.
Yeah.
And he also has progression problems. I don't think that he reads defenses very well where he makes it all the way through his progressions before he takes off. Right. So I think it's multiple problems. And he's still young, so he can learn.
Do they have any other viable options on the roster at this point?
Gunnar Keel's probably still there.
Is Gunnar? I didn't know. I mean,
Gunnar's gone.
Is he?
It feels like he. Yeah, it feels like he was there forever. But yeah, he's gone. And with Fickell, this is kind of the quarterback he was stuck with. He doesn't have any pixie dust to sprinkle on the team. But I feel like in the future that's going to be one of the things that he recruits for majorly as a decent quarterback to bring up through the ranks.
Yep. Yeah.
And they had one of those kids from Ohio State, whatever his name was, I forget what his name was, that he
the quarterback. The quarterback. Be a wide receiver at OSU. And then
he decided he was going to play quarterback at UC, and then he decided, so this tells you what kind of guy this guy is. He was going to have to go to Cincinnati State in the offseason to get his associates to be able to transfer to stay, to not lose a year. Or something like that.
So he could play immediately, basically.
So he could play immediately, yeah. And then he said, no, I don't want to do that. I'm just going to go to this other school. So now he's playing, like, unaffiliated ball somewhere, like at a, I don't know if it's an NAIA school or one of those JUCO schools like you see on, Last Chance U on Netflix.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's in that conference, but it's somewhere down south. And it's like, I mean, I guess you can always get your degree. And the problem is, for people that aren't around here, Cincinnati State doesn't have a football team. And there's really no junior colleges that do have football teams in this area. So he was stuck. He was going to have to put in the effort, go to school, be a student if he wanted to play at UC this season. And he didn't want to do that, so he said, screw it, I'm out of here. And I mean...
Yeah, well, he ain't came to play school, so...
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's name is going to piss me off. We're going to have to Google it. But from what I heard at Ohio State, he didn't play his first couple of years for like off the field stuff. Like it had nothing to do with his performance on the field, but Urban Meyer never actually said why he didn't play. He just was kind of blackballed from the team, which is why he ended up leaving.
Yeah, and it was one of those. He was a former five Torrence Gibson. Yeah.
Torrence Gibson.
He's there a former five-star recruit, and he's going to Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College. This is where it looks like he's at.
Yeah, so, I remember all that going on.
He'll probably end up, I don't know what his, he might be one of those guys that is like 23 or 24 years old at the draft because of how much he's jumped around, but he'll end up being on a roster somewhere. I don't know. I haven't seen what he's doing down there right now, if he's actually playing quarterback or.
Cleveland will probably draft him at QB.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. DeShone Kizer, he's the real deal.
Jesus. Yeah.
That's what Hugh Jackson said, that he played lights out. Is what he said.
He played as if the lights had gotten turned out, I think is what
What it was?
Yeah.
I know Max sent a picture out of it on Twitter today. Apparently at the Brown Stadium, there was an actual dumpster fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was, I don't remember who it was. It was someone that had gotten retweeted into my timeline. So I commented on it. It was a dumpster that was right next to the stadium that caught on fire.
Are you sure it wasn't the practice field?
Yeah, I don't know if it was even on the team's property. But it's fun. It's a funny picture because you can see that there's just this massive cloud of smoke coming from a very specific area, which apparently was a dumpster that had caught fire. And I don't know if somebody purposely did it as a statement or if it was one of those things where someone threw a cigarette, or I don't know what the situation was, but
are the Dolphins in town? Maybe Cutler threw his cigarettes out.
Yep. But yeah, they're in their last 31 games, and this is a very arbitrary number. I guess I don't know where this number comes from, because it's not like it's two seasons, because it's not 32, but in their last 31 games, they are 2-29.
Which is a record for worst over a 31 game period. And I mean, it's one of those niche stats that they kind of make up.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, in the last 31 games, like 31 is such an arbitrary number.
Yeah. Yeah. Were they afraid if they went to 32 that 3-29 wouldn't be the record? I don't know.
Right.
It had to be. Is that the reason? I would guess. Yeah. Because 32 at least would make sense to the standpoint that's two seasons worth. Obviously, you're not, you know, start to finish it when you're in the middle of the season like this, but. At least that number makes sense. 31 doesn't. So when they
if you count backwards, it's not like from the time that this happened.
Right.
It's been 31 games because Hugh Jackson, this is his second year there. So it's not like he. So.
The power rankings that I saw from Bleacher Report today had the Browns at number 32 on out of 32. So I mean they're
so awful.
Yeah, they're trash, and the Bengals moved up to 26. So
the Ravens dropped to 33.
Yeah, that's weird. It's a bold prediction by Hefe. That's not going to go anywhere, or not going to go away anytime soon. I mean,
the Ravens are trash. It's just so happens so are the Bengals and Browns.
Speaking of trash that keeps getting another life, Brandon Weeden found an NFL job this week.
I do not understand how this keeps
years
happening.
Old. 33 years old.
Yeah, so that's what, his third year in the NFL now?
Yeah. It makes me wonder if I should give a quarterback a shot in the NFL.
What do you got to lose?
Not much.
Yeah, I'm assuming that they're signing him just kind of to be an emergency option in case Castle gets hurt, because he's backing up Mariota. And I think they're only expecting Mariota to be out a couple of weeks, right? So it's not a long-term thing, if I recall correctly. But still, I didn't expect to ever see Brandon Weeden in a NFL uniform again. Although I was looking up his stats earlier, and he last played in 2015. He played a couple games for Dallas and a couple games for the Texans. In his Dallas games, I think he had a passer rating in the 90s, and in Houston, his passer rating was triple digits, so he might be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
They're getting him while he's hot.
Yeah.
So the thing that I was going to say is that I'm glad that they went with Whedon instead of like another quarterback that's out there that has Marcus Mariota's same skill set.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. I'm just glad it was Whedon because.
Well, I think if that was out there, they would go with it, but there's just nobody out there that fits that mold. And so, I mean, you go with just your best overall talent at that point.
Right. Now, I did see a lot of people saying, though, oh, well, meanwhile, Cap sits there. And I mean, I get it. Yeah, like Kaepernick is probably better at football than Whedon, which isn't saying a whole lot. But if they're signing it as a safety net for if Matt Castle gets hurt, and if it's a temporary solution, I think it doesn't look good for the Titans to sign and bring him in for 3 weeks and then cut him. It does a disservice to Cap. It does a disservice to, I mean, all the hell that's going to bring because then...
It's going to bring a media circus just like Tebow does, you know.
For 3 or 4 weeks. And,
right.
And do you want that? And then if you cut him, then it's like, well, they cut him because... And then there's going to be all the reasons that he cut him. If you're not going to sign Kaepernick to be your starter, which I don't think he's going to be a starter anywhere, I mean, you're just creating unnecessary distractions. And that's not his fault, but no, I immediately thought that too with Brandon Whedon getting signed, that Kaepernick's out there probably, I mean, he is if you're looking for a perfect swap of two quarterbacks.
Yeah,
you could take Mariota.
Yeah,
They both wear that fucking visor.
I laughed my ass off when I saw that today because I didn't know Castle was there, so I assumed they were signing him to play.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, I was like, I'm not trying to be that guy, but Kaepernick and Mariota are pretty much the same quarterback. What the hell?
Yep. Anyway, on to everybody's favorite annual tradition, the Natty Boys Quarter Season NFL Awards presented by Mill Iron Sports, something we like to do every single year. And you know, we get a lot of feedback every year. People say it's basically their favorite thing that we do, so... each year at the quarter season mark, we go ahead and go through all the top awards for the NFL season.
Yeah, this is our Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Four games have been played for every single team except the Dolphins.
Yeah, so, and Bucks. And
Tampa.
Yeah,
Tampa Bay.
But so I think that's a pretty good sampling to pretty much start giving out awards now. I mean, you don't need a full season's worth of work. I mean, what's going to happen that's different in the next 12 games? Nothing, so.
Probably not.
So I'll give out the first award here, and it is the Jason Pierre-Paul Finger Injury Award, and it's actually going to Odell Beckham and J.J. Watt, both for having some nasty finger injuries. I don't know if you saw this past weekend, Odell dislocated his his pointer finger during catching a ball, which looked pretty nasty, and then we all know J.J. Watt had the bone poking through the skin, or at least it was according to him.
Yeah, he wanted everybody to know.
Injuries. Yeah.
I have the second one here. I think this guy's had this locked up for the last 11 years, so I'm just going to give it to him this early in the season. It's the No Fucks Given Award, and it's going to Mr. Jay Cutler. A lot of you had seen the Wildcat play by this time. He just doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
He wins this every quarter season Natty Boys
he's
Award.
He's got it locked up. It's like Pam's White Sneakers Award. Cutler just has this shit locked up.
Yep.
And he continues to impress.
So the next award is the award for the most talented former 49ers quarterback who's currently a free agent, and that goes to Troy Smith. So congratulations, Troy. This is your first ever award.
Wow. Man, I'm sure he humbly accepts that.
It'll look right. All it'll right. look good on that trophy case right next to his Heisman.
Just as prestigious, too.
Yeah.
All right. So staying with quarterbacks, my award is for the award for everybody remembers me being better at quarterback than I was award. Goes to Colin Kaepernick.
Hey!
Because everybody thinks that he's coming in to save franchises when in reality he's just kind of a shitty quarterback. So good for you, Colin. You are remembered as this great quarterback because the defense got you to the Super Bowl and you sucked for 3 years, and that's why you don't have an NFL job.
Yep, you're going to get yelled at on Twitter for that.
Yeah. I don't give a fuck.
My second award is going to Danny Trevathan for the best Fontez moment, trying to literally kill somebody on an NFL football field.
Yes, the perfect form award.
The perfect form award, yeah.
Who gets one game.
I have a similar award to be given out along the same lines, which is the hasn't been suspended yet but will award, and that's going to Vontez.
Yeah. And I've got one that goes along with that. It is I can't wait to fuck over my team award, Vontez Perfect.
Because you know, runner up.
You know he's going to fuck over the Bengals at some point with a stupid play.
Yeah, he's going to really ruin that season that they've been having. So my next award that I want to give out goes to the team that currently has the best stadium food that is not available on game day, and that goes to the Atlanta Falcons for Chick-fil-A.
Those motherfuckers.
I'm actually, and not to derail us here at all, but I'm kind of pissed off about this whole situation because not that I'm going to be in Atlanta for a game, but when I found out that Chick-fil-A wasn't going to be open during game days because of the Sunday rule,
yeah,
I thought it was going to be like every mall in America with just that chain over the front of it, like in the lights off.
Yep.
It actually converts to a different concession stand.
Really?
Right.
Yeah, it's like a different place.
They,
like
they sell something else in that slot.
Like, it would be so much cooler if it looked like every food court in all the malls that don't exist anymore with just that chain that rolls down.
If that's
such
the
a depressing
case,
look.
I'm going to that's concession stand every single week, and I'm just, you know, making friends with the people that work there, and then, you know, later in the season, I'm like, hey, why don't you go back down there, you know, drop a chicken patty for me and make a little Chick-fil-A sandwich because that stuff's got to be back there. I bet it's they're probably doing it during their break, making up all kinds of Chick-fil-A sandwiches.
Or I'm going to wait till they have a Sunday night game, and if it goes to midnight, I'm going to demand my fucking chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
Give me some waffle fries.
For free.
So, I'll go with the No Shit Award. And this is awarded to Brian Cushing for being suspended for PEDs.
didn't see that one coming.
There's a shocker.
I got a shout out to the guy that's having the most fun this season and give the best dance routine award to Marshawn Lynch.
I don't know. Did you see Travis Kelce's dance last night?
Yeah. According to our friends, he's a tryhard.
Well, he is a tryhard. But he's a Bearcat, and you got to love him. Travis, we'd love to have you on the show.
I do love him.
We'd love to have anybody on the show.
I got the next award, and it's Back to Their Old Ways Award. And that's for the Cowboys for once again being overrated.
Nice.
Shin kick coming your way.
Yeah, sorry about it.
Okay, well, I'm gonna. It's not really back to their old ways, but it plays into this. I got the Pac-Man Jones Humanitarian Award, and that is going to Pac-Man Jones because even though he spit on a bunch of cops, he bought bikes for kids a couple years ago. So, he's a good guy.
Yeah, I mean you can't argue with that.
And hey, yeah, he's a good guy, and he there's every now and then he'll wave to kids in the crowd, and so I mean you can see past all the, you know, spitting on nurses and telling cops they're gonna die and stuff. Because, you know, he does one or two nice things every 7 or 8 years, so.
Yeah, so we like to have fun and we like to joke around a lot, but, I mean, in all seriousness, there's a lot of turmoil going on in the country right now. You know, you see a lot of these kind of social kind of justice demonstrations that a lot of the players are doing. So my next award is just somebody who's kind of setting example and kind of standing up to, I guess, that oppression that they have out there. So the Milliron Sports Courage Award goes to Boltman for standing up to stadium security when, you know, they threatened to throw him out of the game for not taking his mask off. And I mean, he didn't give in. He didn't back down. He stood up for what he believed in, and they allowed him to stay. So that shows you that, you know, if you fight back against that oppression, yeah, I mean, and you show that you're stronger than them, you know, you're going to win. You're going to come out ahead. So
yeah, I think people will respect that.
Yeah. Respect yeah. So I think a lot of people can kind of follow in his footsteps and learn a thing or two from Boltman.
I think that one of the reasons they didn't kick him out is because that would have been 10% of their gate.
Yeah.
Seriously, it's been so bad. Which takes me to my next award, the Milliron Sports The Grass Isn't Always Greener on the Other Side award goes to the San Diego Chargers. because they thought they would go to L.A. and be the hot new team down there, and they're actually putting tarps in the upper levels of a 27,000-seat soccer stadium because they can't fill it. And when they did fill it, it was with the opposing team's fans. Yeah. So, yes, and there's already talks about them going back to San Diego, which I cannot wait to see that shit show if that happens.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Yeah. Well, I've got two more. I'll be quick with them. The most loved and hated award presented to Justin Houston for his heroic actions last night for some people. His meaningless touchdown in that game as time expired. It not only covered the spread, but it hit the over. So it was $100,000 swing for some bettors.
Yeah.
That were betting on both of them, and it really screwed a lot of people. And the probably the most coveted award that we have, the Milliron Sports Tim Tebow Award for sucking but being a good person so people like you anyway. That goes to week 1 through 3 Andy Dalton. Because it was hard to get on him for sucking so bad because you know he's a good guy and he's not an asshole that, like, even when Carson, I mean, we've talked about this before, is a Carson apologist and stuck up for Carson until I was finally sick of the whole trade situation. You could kind of see him being an asshole even though he just had that smug,
yeah,
like, attitude sometimes.
He's where California, he thought
an elitist. Yeah, exactly. The yeah. Elitist attitude. With Andy, you don't get that. He just seems like an, oh, like, hey, what's up, guys? Like,
sorry I threw that interception.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about that, guys. Yeah.
My bad. But,
yeah. So so that's all I had. I think hopefully all of our award winners are willing to come onto the show to accept their awards next week.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're still waiting to hear back from all of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had to check my list.
As of the recording of this podcast, but I'm sure once you guys listen, we'll have all of them yeah. and lined up to come on the show sometime in the near future.
There's a couple. If they listen to past episodes, there's no chance in hell they would even think about it.
We need to do this a quarter of the way into the NBA season. We know we can trigger KD into coming on here.
But not as KD.
Yeah, he'll come on as someone else.
KD fan 14. We'd love to have you on the Fall podcast. Yeah.
So one award that I'm probably not going to win is the Milliron Sports NFL Picks Award. Currently sitting in last place, but I've got a good feeling about this week. I think I might be able to redeem myself.
We got some good games to pick from, and we're going to start with the Packers are +2 at Dallas. Hefe, you are leading currently, so you're making the first pick. Yeah, bitch.
I'm taking Packers. As you heard in our awards, I think Dallas is definitely overrated. I'm not sure if Sean Lee is supposed to be back, but both teams are injured, but it's Aaron Rodgers, so I'm going Aaron Rodgers.
That was a well put together thought.
It's Aaron Rodgers. It's simple enough.
Very hard to go against him.
Yeah, I'm gonna follow Hefe on that one. I'm going Packers as well. Rodgers is Rodgers, so I agree. I think they'll be able to beat the Cowboys so they'll cover that +3. Or +2, rather.
I also have the Packers +2. I think that they win outright. I think Rodgers is just too good, and the Cowboys haven't really shown that they're going to be dominant this year, and I don't think the Packers' offense is the team that you turn it around for, so...
Yeah, I'm obviously taking the Packers also. I think that tons of people have said this already, but Zeke's looking a little chubby, and he's not as, you know, thinking that he was going to be suspended the first 6 games. I don't think he spent a ton of time in the offseason, you know, staying in shape. So, sorry, Bone. We're all picking the Packers +2.
He was eating all that cereal.
The next game we have is the Battle of the 0-4 teams. We have the Chargers at +3.5 playing in New York against the Giants. I'm going to go ahead and pick the Giants in this one. This is a toss-up game for me just because of how bad both teams are. But one of the teams has to win, and I think the Giants can do it by at least a touchdown.
I'm going Chargers in this one. Reason being is they lost the one game because their kicker missed a kick at the end. They were in the game up until the end last week. I don't feel like the Giants have really looked like they can do anything. They looked a little bit better last week, but I just, like DB said, this is a toss-up game. I'm going to go Chargers.
How about that Phillip Rivers meltdown this past Sunday when he was storming off the field? Did you guys see that? He was just extremely pissed off at the, I'm guessing it was the offensive coordinator because he was yelling into his helmet.
Yeah.
You know, so I assume that he has a mic in there that the offensive coordinator can hear.
I think he's just going crazy and he's yelling at his helmet. I saw a guy on the street downtown yesterday yelling at his hat, so I assume it's the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a guy one time I saw berating his bottle of green tea that was sitting on the end of a bench. It's the funniest thing I've ever... that's the same guy that called me a... It always entertains one of my favorite me moments to think ever.
Of Rivers cussing, too, because I know he doesn't, so...
Yep. Right. So, but I...
He is Ned Flanders.
Oh, shoot.
I took the Giants, giving up the 3.5 points. The Giants are one of those teams that whenever their back's against the wall, they somehow come back. And I see them fighting to get – I haven't looked ahead at their schedule, but I see them fighting back to get to 4-4 probably.
Mm-hmm.
I could see them winning their next four and then getting into the NFC East conversation again.
I don't think anyone picked the Giants.
I don't think anyone's running away with that division right now. So even at 0-4, I don't think it's out of the question that they can get back into that conversation.
No one picked the Giants to be this bad either.
Yeah, no.
Right.
No. But I'm going to stick with Mac on that one. I'm going to go Giants as well just because they're at home. So I think they'll cover that 3.5. And
the last game that we have is our beloved Bengals. They are -3 hosting the Buffalo Bills.
I'm almost surprised that they're favorites in this one. Just because
me too.
Buffalo's been playing well so far this year, and the Bengals, I mean, they looked good last weekend, but that was against the Browns, so that doesn't really tell you a whole lot. I guess they're getting the benefit of the doubt of being the home team, knowing that they'll get the black jersey, which is a guaranteed W, so that's the only reason I can think of that they're the favorite there. That being said, I think I am going to go with the Bengals. I think they win in a close one, but I think they'll win by about a touchdown, so I'll take the Bengals -3 in that one. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, you were supposed to pick the opposite of that so that they can upset your choice.
Not going to happen.
I am taking the Bills at +3 because somebody didn't do the research and the Bengals are wearing orange on Sunday, so...
Fuck.
Wow.
So I'm going Bills +3. I think even if they were wearing the black jerseys, this is a letdown game for the Bengals going into the bye week. But it's not going to be enough of a letdown for Marvin to get fired. So there's going to be everybody calling for Marvin's head in the bye week. But the fact that they destroyed the Browns, I think, is good enough for Mike Brown to keep him around for the rest of the season.
I would like to amend my picks and take the Bills. I think the Bills win by 2 touchdowns.
I'm going to take the Bengals -3. I think that they turned the corner with Laser and they kind of figured their offense out. So I'm going to be the optimistic Bengals fan and say that they turned the corner and are going to turn it around against the Bills.
I am going to agree with DB for similar reasons, but I also think that their defense is top 5. I think their defense is going to keep them in most games the rest of the season. It'll just be a matter of if their offense is clicking, if the offensive line's not, you know, keeping Andy clean, if their running game gets going. So I think all the questions with them lie on their offense throughout the rest of the year.
Well, yeah, and I was going to say, I think I saw somewhere that it said through the first four games, the Bengals are on pace to allow the fewest points allowed, I guess, in franchise history, I think is what I saw, which they're 1-3. So yeah. That tells you that they're not going to be able to ride defense alone.
Yeah. So I do think the rest of the season, you know, completely falls on, you know, which kind of Andy we get, you know, if their offensive rotation works, kind of like what they did against Cleveland, where they, you know, brought in Smith for some snaps and, you know, kind of moved around who was, you know, coming in and out. Or if they bring up a young guy like, you know, Westerman. So I might have just screwed his name up, but yeah, I think that's what it's going to hinder on is what their offense does the rest of the year. So.
I know you were probably happy to see that. Sorry, Woody.
I said, I think it hinges on the jersey color.
Hefe, I know you were probably happy to see that Mixon had
died.
So the first two games, he was at like the 20% snap mark. And since Laser took over, he's been at like 45 and 50% of the snaps.
I still don't think he's getting enough, but that's also because I want him to trade Jeremy Hill. So I just don't think they're giving Mixon enough. I think he's more one of those guys that needs, you know, 60% of the snaps to really get going into to get it, you know, going later on in the game. So,
all right. So a Thursday tradition. We like to do our fantasy drafts based on anything that's going on in the world. Sometimes we don't have anything, so we just throw shit against the wall and hope it's funny. But this time, in the spirit of O.J. Simpson being a free man, we decided this week we're going to do our first orders of business upon being released from prison. I hope that none of us end up in prison, but if we were, hypothetically, Hefe, what would be the first thing that you'd probably do?
Well, I'm going with our favorite mockumentary out there. I'm going with the boys of the Trailer Park Boys show, and I'm going to immediately try to pull off the big dirty and retire as soon as I get out of prison.
Not a bad idea.
No.
We're talking small crimes.
So I think the obvious answer is, and so for my first round pick, I think the obvious answer is I'm going to go to McDonald's, Skyline, and Taco Bell all in one trip. Because, son of a bitch. Yeah.
My pick was Skyline, Taco Bell, and La Rosa's. Mm. So
I got to throw McDonald's in there. After eating prison food for that long, you got to have the good stuff. So, and that'll probably be my consist of like my next four or five meals will just be all three of those, some combination of those three. But that very first one has got to be all three together. So maybe mix like a cheese coney cheeseburger and like a burrito all together in one and just make a superfood.
The good news is that your colon is going to be used to prison food. So you're probably not going to get the shits.
Well, never mind. I'm not going
to. Your colon's probably used to something else.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's going to be an easy exit.
So upon leaving prison, the first thing that I'm going to do is call shotgun.
Nice.
That's a good one.
I got to have the front seat.
Yeah, you can't ride down on the back seat on the way out of prison.
Yeah, enjoy that fresh air.
I'm not going to change mine because it's a little different than Witty's, but I'm going to Rising Star Casino. And my reason, that's random, and then a lot of people are wondering. Rising Star Casino, they have all the gambling I would want to do, minus the sports book, obviously.
I know where he's going.
They have a nice golf course, and they have Skyline and La Rosa's open until about 2 a.m.
Ooh,
all nice. In the same little area. So I figured I could get three or four of my favorite things to do right there. One-stop shop, and I'm not wasting any time. I'm not driving around like a goon, going to every drive-thru like Witty. I'm just going to let it stand there in the same line and order all my food at once.
There's something about being out on the open road as a newly released from prison person, though, that it's kind of freeing. So you're cooped up in one location. I got that freedom of driving a quarter of a mile around town.
Well, but I won a ton of money at the table, so they paid me to eat all this. So,
but then you lost it all, and now you're in debt to the casino, and you can't pay that debt, so you're going to commit a crime to try and get the money back and go back to jail.
That's true. Plus, the hookers out in that part of Indiana probably aren't that great.
They're all right.
So my next one is binge watch whatever everybody on is watching on Netflix, so I don't have to sit there and be confused at what everyone's talking about, because there's always, every month there seems to be a new show or a stretch of shows that everyone's talking about, and it's the show you have to see. So I think I'd probably find out what the hot show was that week.
And don't want to be the social outcast that has no idea what's going on.
I know. It's already going to be awkward because I'm going to have like the prison tats on my face and stuff. So
depending on how long you've been in, you might not even have a Netflix account yet, though. You might still be trying to log into like Kazaa or something to download your favorite shows.
That's right.
So for my next round pick, one of the first things I'm going to do once I'm fresh out of prison is get into an internet fight. And I'm going to do this because there's, you know, a wall between me and the person on the other side of the computer, and they can't punch me in the face when I say something smart like they can in the yard.
They can punch you in the face emotionally.
Yeah, but they're going to do that more, regardless of whether I pick on them or not.
So my next one, just, you know, I imagine being in prison, the accommodations aren't that comfortable, so the beds are probably going to just wreak havoc on your back, and you know, you're probably not getting a lot of good sleep there. So the first thing I'm doing is going to just a furniture store and laying on all the beds and taking a nap for like 12 hours straight.
With my next pick, I am going to use the street cred that I got while I was in the clink, and I am going to drop my rap album. Just like most people do when I get out of prison, I'm gonna drop El Jefe's rap album.
If you really wanted it to have the street cred, you would have dropped it while you're in prison.
I'm going released right when I get out of prison. So I wrote it all in prison. I'm dropping it as soon as I get released.
Wow, you obviously haven't seen the Tupac documentary where he says that prison sucks your soul and he wasn't able to write any raps while he was in jail.
I mean, I'm just harder than Tupac.
That's probably true. You made it past 25, so good job.
With my final pick, I am going to go to Cane's for the first time.
Nice.
But I'm also going back with the Trailer Park Boys, and I'm going to get drunk and eat chicken fingers.
So my last pick is it's going to be kind of one of those things that just shows how much of a badass that I am. Everybody else, you know, I'm assuming when they get out of prison, they're going to want to try and walk the straight and narrow as much as possible. They don't want to get in any trouble. They don't want to be on the wrong side of the law. You know, a bunch of, you know, snowflakes, whatever you want to call them. But not me, you know. I say fuck the law. I'm above the law. So the first thing I'm doing when I get out of prison, I'm jaywalking. Yeah, I don't need
better
your laws.
Better hope your PO doesn't see you.
Fuck my PO.
Maybe if it's a chick.
That's a conflict of interest.
Ah, good point.
Yeah.
So after seeing O.J. Simpson's photo of him being released and seeing the prison-issued sneakers that he was wearing, the first thing that I would have to do would be go get a fresh pair of J's from Finish Line or, you know, the malls that don't exist anymore.
Swing by McAlpin's and see what they got.
Yes.
You'd be all pissed off from your 9-year sentence, and you'd go to Tri-County like, what the fuck?
Yeah. What happened to my mom?
This was hopping when I left.
Yeah.
For my last pick, and I'm actually kind of surprised it didn't get taken by anybody, and this would play into mine and Witty's first picks, I'm going to take a shit in a private restroom.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Because I'd imagine that there's not a whole lot of privacy in the bathrooms that are in your cell. You're just kind of shitting amongst the other prisoners. And any prison show I've ever watched, it seems to be the case. I don't think that they don't have too many private facilities there. So,
what if it's one of those things where you've gotten so used to shitting with other people in the room that you can't do it unless someone's in there with you?
You're sitting at one of those awkward restaurants where the bathroom's right by some seats, and you just open the door like, "What's up?"
You get like a crowd like noise on your phone or something. Take that with you everywhere and just pretend.
Yeah,
Like a noise machine in a nursery.
Yeah, exactly.
It's my poop box.
I only had one honorable mention for this, and that was go back and commit the exact same crime because double jeopardy.
That's yeah, right. Can't try.
Genius. Genius.
Yep.
I just had one, and it was drive to Athens and get DP Dale. Because you guys, do that in Columbus too, you guys know how much I love DP. It's not the same, though. I got to go to Athens.
That's true.
I had a couple.
You notice none of us had sex?
No. I think you've had about enough sex for life in prison.
That's true.
The
wrong end of it.
So one of the ones I think we missed is I'm probably just going to take like an hour-long bubble bath because, you know, you're taking all these group showers. You don't have any time to kind of relax and enjoy it. So I'm taking a nice long bubble bath and just, you know, maybe having a glass of wine, light some candles, put on some soothing music. To my last honorable mention, and I think this is the obvious one that we probably should have picked number one overall, but subscribe to the Natty Boys podcast. So if you're just now recently released from prison, then go ahead and go into iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, write us a nice review. I'm sure you're used to writing plenty of pen pal letters, so you got your writing skills down. You know, make sure you hit 5 stars when you listen to the 5-star reviews. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/MillIronSports. And check us out on Twitter, @MillIronSports. And all of our individual accounts are also in the bio for that account.
New blogs posted weekly on MillIronSports.com. Also, check us out.
Yeah, and welcome back to the free world.
This podcast was done in the loving memory of Aaron Hernandez.